Today's scripture is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. That's in your pew Bibles on page 1167 if you want to follow along. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Good morning. I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. It's good to be back with you again. When I had a church, we called this Low Sunday, so thanks to Pastor Sarah for giving me Low Sunday, but I'm glad that all of you came today. I appreciate that. Let us be in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the living out of these words be wholly acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So this last week was Thanksgiving, right? I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. We, with two families, you know, when you're married, you have to eat more turkey and more, have more feasting. So we did a little turkey trotting as much as a 6.5 month pregnant wife can do. We did a little turkey trot in the morning. My daughter can now ride her bike so we can move at a little quicker clip. So I'm not going to say we didn't have too many calories for our, you know, short 3 mile jaunt that we did. But anyway, I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. You see, when I was growing up, Thanksgiving was a really big deal in my house. I grew up in Anaheim, right down the road from you guys, right in the shadow of Angel Stadium. And I had a huge extended family. When we gathered for Thanksgiving, we probably had about 30 to 35 people there. And so it was a big deal in our family when all of those people got together. It was, you know, food and feasting and family and the friends, the neighbors, and then, of course, the football game that was going on. It was really a day-long event that took place starting early in the morning when my mom would start cooking. My dad would start setting up all the tables, you know, for 35 people. And the kids got to peel potatoes, set the table, and clean the house while my mom was cooking. But I have to admit, one of my favorite parts of Thanksgiving were leftovers. How many of you still have leftovers in your, not, I haven't asked the question yet, you're raising your hand. How many of you still have leftovers in your fridge from Thursday? No, you already ate them all. Okay, some of you need to clean out your fridges then. No, I'm just kidding, really. But one of my favorite parts about Thanksgiving was about leftovers. I always liked reliving sort of the day, right, with the taste of Thanksgiving a day or two or three later. But the one thing that's true about leftovers, whether it's Thanksgiving or whether it's, you know, your dinner from last night that you might have had a little extra in, is leftovers never get the same attention as the actual meal. Right? Leftovers never get the same attention. I remember in my family when we'd go shopping on Black Friday, my mom would always make us a turkey sandwich to take on the go as we were going to wait in line or to go shop for whatever we were doing. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy Thanksgiving Day leftovers so much so that I like to take Tupperware to all the houses that we visit now on Thanksgiving to make sure that I get some because I don't cook it myself, just bring stuff. But leftovers just aren't the same. They don't get the same attention or intention as the actual preparation of the original meal. They are, you know, as we call them, left over from before. And as I thought about preaching today, as I thought about this message for today, we're reminded on the way in today on our drive-in on the radio that it's 30 days away from Christmas. Today's the 25th, so I hope you're getting ready. As I was thinking about preaching on the day after Thanksgiving, really before Advent starts, you know, Advent starts next week because Christmas is a little bit closer to a Sunday this year, later in the month, is that we don't need to give, or we shouldn't give God our leftovers during this season when our calendars get so busy because of the holidays. This time of year, I know that we get a little busier than normal, right? We have extras to do, more parties to attend, more people to see, cards to send, gifts to buy, events to go to, decorating to do, baking to do, family pictures to take, and even more events at church. You already have your Christmas party next week. You better get moving on that. It's just an overall busier time of year with, you know, less time during the sunlight because it's getting longer nights. And so with the extra things to do this time of year and being more busy, we have to be really intentional about giving our attention to the things of God and not just the time and the resources and the energy that we have left over from all the other stuff. You see, in this morning's scripture, Paul has some things to say about giving our best and not just leftovers to our faith. This scripture in chapter 3 in Colossians, Paul talks about what it means to be a follower of Christ, what it means to say that you are a Christian. He uses imagery of taking things off right before the text. Remember when I was here last time about doing no harm? We talked about that. So he talks about doing no harm. And then he talks about actually clothing yourself with other things. So take off one to replace it for what you're going to get dressed in. Not about you, but picking out my outfit's always been sort of a big deal to me. Last night before we went to bed, I had to make sure my skirt was ironed and my blouse looked okay. And I started this when I was young, and now I still do it for work. What's clean, what matches, what's ironed, what's ready to go when I get dressed. You see, I take intention of what I'm going to wear. It's something that we have to do to think about. Very few people just, you know, whatever, except for my daughter. When she gets dressed, it's usually the first thing on top of the drawer, and it doesn't matter if one's stripes and one's polka dots or, you know, whatever. But we're only six, so we're working on that. But Paul wants us to be intentional about our faith, about being a disciple. He says, put on kindness, put on patience. In other words, get dressed into kindness. Be intentional to put on patience. I'm still working on that. Put on meekness, humility, and compassion each and every day. In other words, dress yourself with these things that matter in our faith. Make a choice, make a decision each and every day about being kind, about being compassionate. Make your faith a priority of how we live in the world daily, like getting dressed in the morning. Three of these things that Paul names in the scripture, I think, are going to be helpful to us as we enter into this season of Advent, into this holiday season. The first thing that he says is, put on kindness. Be kind to one another. I think our country could use a lesson in that right now. Don't overdo it. Don't say yes so often that you're going to wear yourself out and not actually be able to enjoy the holidays. Be kind to yourself by taking time to experience joy, to get the rest that you need, and to be present in the company of your family and your friends. Be kind to your pocketbook. Don't extend yourself so much financially that you're going to put extra stress on you and your family at the end of December. Don't overdo your spending that you can't give to causes that are important to you, that need our extra help during these days. I was always told, and what I like to think about, is don't overspend so much that Christmas becomes a burden, because that's not the intention of this season. Be kind to your loved ones too. Make time for them. Don't stress out so much that you're hard to be around. Don't overextend yourself so much that you can't enjoy those you love. Growing up, I always thought the holidays were not fun for my mom. She was always so worried to make everything perfect that she missed the experience of actually enjoying those of us who were around. And I always try to think about that during this time of year. The next thing Paul says in the scripture is put on compassion. There's so many opportunities during this season to show compassion. The gift tags that you have for young people. At my school, we have a lot of foster students, foster children. And so we have a giving tree for all of the foster students in my school. Each time we're struggling maybe to think of what to buy for a loved one who actually has everything and needs nothing, maybe we show compassion by buying a gift for somebody in need and telling them that we did that in their name. Buy a toy for a foster child rather than your niece or nephew who already has too much stuff, they don't even know how to keep track of it. And as you're feasting at your company Christmas party, there's always enough food and drinks for, what, twice, three times as many people as there. Show compassion by using the money you would have spent that night to go to dinner, to buy a meal for a homeless person, or give to a food bank. Show compassion by donating your own old coat to a place that passes them out during this more cold time of year. The homeless in Costa Mesa is an example. Put on compassion this holiday season by being intentional about serving God, by showing love to others, especially those in need. The third thing that I think Paul says in this scripture passage that I think is helpful, at least for me during this time, is patience. Sometimes I feel like we need extra patience during this time of year. We're going to spend a lot of time in the next month waiting in lines, waiting in traffic, waiting for a parking spot, waiting for even our friends and family to arrive, waiting for Christmas itself to come. Patience is what we'll need in droves this season. So put on patience intentionally each day. And as you're practicing your patience, as you're waiting, spend some time to pray, to meditate, to lift up people in your congregation, in our country, in our world who need extra love and intention. Put on, as Paul says, this holiday season, kindness, compassion, and patience. But above all, the scripture says, above all, love, which binds all of this together. I've used this before, but it's a rewritten version of 1 Corinthians 13 for Christmas. Maybe you've heard it. I'm going to read it to you again because it's a helpful reminder, I think. If I decorate my house perfectly with lovely bows, strands of twinkling lights, and shiny glass balls, but I do not show love to my family, I am then just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging beautifully adorned table at the mealtime, but I show no love to my family, then I'm just another cook. If I work at the soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give all that I have to charity, but do not show love to my family, it profits nothing. If I trim the tree with shimmering angels and snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties and sing in the choir, but do not focus on Christ, then I actually have missed the point. Love stops cooking to play with a child. Love sets aside decorating to be present with your spouse. Love is kind, though overwhelmed and late for the next gathering. Love doesn't envy another home. Love doesn't yell at the kids to get out of your way so you can be faster. Love doesn't give to only those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who have nothing to offer back. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Video games are going to break. Pearl necklaces will be lost. Golf clubs will rust. But giving the gift of love will endure forever. This season, I invite you to put on love, to show love, to be love by being kind to those that you meet, compassionate, and being patient. And finally, Paul says, which ties in Thanksgiving, whatever you do, give thanks to God. Not last, not as an afterthought, not even as a leftover that we love so much. But first, give thanks. Not just one day of the year, but each day for the gifts that God has shown to us. Meister Eckhart, who's a 13th century German theologian, said, if the only prayer that you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. Leftovers are good, but God deserves our firsts and not just what we have left over during this season. God deserves our best. God asks for our best during these next few weeks of hustle and bustle, of hurrying there and here, of making lists and checking them twice. Remember why we have this season. Put on kindness and compassion. Give thanks and connect with God and those in our lives. May it be so. Amen.